Amen. Now, our Bible reading today is taken from Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 18 right through to verse 25. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through to 25. Let's hear the word of God. For those online, the words will come up on screen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Amen. We know the Lord will stamp with his own approval and blessing this reading of his own precious and infallible word. Now this morning, we are returning to our series of expository sermons in the book of Colossians after a break of a few months. And today my text is found in Colossians 3, verse 18. Let me read it to you. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Now, I've entitled this message, Is Being a Submissive Wife Biblical? Now, for those with us in house and online and can remember our previous studies dealing with the section, Colossians 3, verse 8 through to 17, it was all about living out the Christian life in the house of God. How we're to treat one another, especially in the context of being a church family and a church fellowship. And I want to encourage you to refresh yourself by listening again to these sermons via our church website and the YouTube channel. That would be a worthwhile exercise, certainly better than watching the television or a film or a soap opera. Remember, living out the Christian life in church has very much to do with the glory of Christ. You see, when we take into our hearts and minds who Jesus Christ is, and thinking about the revelation of his glorious person and work, that teaching and doctrine that applies to everyday living. Look at how we close the section. Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The glorious person of Christ and the fullness of his person and work has an impact on how we live out our lives, especially in relation to the house of God. Now look what follows. Here's another section. Colossians 3, verse 18, right through to Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. It's a call for the Christian to live out the Christian life, not in the house of God, but in the domestic sphere, the sphere of the home. You see, the doctrine of the glory of Christ and the experience of that glory must be brought to bear, brought to the fore in living out the Christian life as a wife, as a husband, as a child, as a young person, in the context of the home. So the glory of Christ and the experience of that applies to the role and relationship of a husband and wife team. The role of the husband and wife team also has to do with a manifestation of experiencing something of the glory and the beauty of Christ. So here's the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he begins this new section, living out the Christian life in the home, and he makes a special appeal. And what does he say? Wives. Then there's a comma there. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, we're asking the question this morning, is being a submissive wife biblical? This is a most controversial text of Scripture, and I've tried to set it in its context. And even as I have read the text, I can hear the shouts of protest from many outside. I can hear the boos in my ears. I can see in my mind the banner waving, the placard carrying, the hurling insults of the modern day feminist lobby. How dare you call wives and say, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. You see, the idea of a submissive wife or a submissive woman to any man, especially submissive to one's own husband, that's a step too far for many in the feminist lobby. They shout, no, no, no. So if you to ask them, is a submissive wife biblical, they would say, no, not at all. Now, let me be clear. I didn't write this into the Bible. The church didn't invent this in past centuries. The early church fathers didn't dream this. This is in the Bible. These words are inspired by the Holy Ghost. It's part of the sacred text. The Holy Ghost gave these words to Paul in the first century. He faithfully recorded them down for us to read. Living out the Christian life in the context of the church also means living out the Christian life in the context of the home to the glory of God through faith in Christ. You see, as I've said, I didn't write the letter. I didn't write these words. I feel like the postman this morning. And what's the postman's job? Well, his job is to deliver the mail. He faithfully puts it through your letterbox or puts it into your hand. And I feel like that this morning because I come with a word that's a burning issue for today. Is being a submissive wife biblical? And the culture at large, the world at large says no. But our culture is at war with God. And do you realize that as a church, we are at war with our culture? You see, straight away, this text is against feminism. This text is against same-sex marriage. This text is against gender identity change and transgender. This text is pro-husband and pro-wife. This text is pro-family. When it says wives submit, well, pause. You see, when it speaks of wives, it's thinking of a biological woman. And as a biological woman, a wife can only submit as a wife if she has a husband. And a husband, the reference here is to a biological man. And the husband's call, as we're going to see next week, is husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You see, it's a biological issue. It's ontological. A woman is a wife. A wife is a woman. A husband is a man. A man is a husband. And there's a battleground going on. What is a woman? What is a man? You see, it's a biological issue. And men and women are biologically unique. They're made in the image of God. And you see, I want to tell you today, I want to announce from this pulpit that the God of the Bible, the living and the true God, the scriptures of truth, the true church of Jesus Christ, wherever that church meets universally, is at war with our culture. Because our culture is attacking the family, attacking true womanhood, true manhood, attacking the children. And when you think of that Tavistock Center for Transgender that had to be shut down, that has impacted upon the lives of over 6,000 children. You see, feminism and every other ism that's anti-God is against what we call the patriarchy. The Bible teaches biblical womanhood, teaches biblical manhood, teaches about biblical youth. This section, if you look at it, verse 18, wives, verse 19, husbands, verse 20, children. And then it especially homes in on the fathers. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And then it goes to servants, obeying all things. Notice how it says, verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. You see, there's order in the context of a marriage relationship. There's a headship. There is a biblical submission in the context of that headship and marriage relationships. Men will have wives. Women will have husbands. And that relationship of a husband and wife coming together in the context of marriage is but a faint reflection of the relationship that exists between Jesus Christ and his church. And this feminist lobby that's at war with God, it never tries to understand the biblical model for womanhood. It doesn't understand the biblical model for manhood. It doesn't understand a biblical Christian marriage, it being a reflection of Christ in the church. We need to pray for many of the women in today's society that are growing up, promoting feminism. We want them to see the beauty and the wisdom of what a true woman really is. And if they got sight of that, they would push away and throw off all these ideas of feminism. They would come back to a biblical understanding, a biblical basis. And that's why I say this is a controversial text. Very quickly, this is also a challenging text. Look at the words, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Wives, submit. Let's just pause there. What does that mean, wives, submit? I want you to think with me of the reality of biblical submission. Let me tell you a little story, sad story, true story. A wife calls her minister. She tells him on the phone that she needs his help. What's up? My husband has beaten me up. Last week he punched me like a punch bag. This week he's thrown me down the stairs. I've broken a rib. The pastor called. He sympathized. He cried with her. He prayed with her. He said this to Marlene as he left. Marlene, you should try to be a wee bit more submissive. Remember, your husband is a spiritual head. He prayed and he left. Now, I wouldn't have taken that approach, and I'll come back to that. But 2 weeks later, he got a phone call. Marlene was dead. Marlene had been murdered by an abusive husband. Shock in the church. The husband's a deacon. Deacons, don't be beating your wives. The husband's a Sunday school teacher. And of course, it's a tremendous impact on the life of that church. I want to say this morning, domestic abuse is very common. Not only in society at large, but even in the context of a Christian fellowship and a Christian church, wives are suffering physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, Is that what it means? When it says wives submit, that wives are just to accept physical, emotional, verbal, financial abuse? I want to say that's not what it means, men. Ladies, that's not what it means. So we'll ask the question again, what is submission mean? It means to put yourself under authority. The word submit is a military term. To put yourself in rank under authority means you're subject to that authority. That's the biblical concept. Citizens are to be subject to the civil authorities. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. And not turn to it. Servants are to submit to their own masters. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. The same truth is taught in Titus 2, verse 9. And you've got to think about employer-employee situation. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. And wives to their husbands. Turn back there to Ephesians chapter 5, which is a beautiful passage of Scripture. Verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then we have Colossians 3:13 or 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And over there in Titus chapter 2 and in the verse 5, we have got similar counsel. We're told there, wives are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And over in 1 Peter in chapter 3 and in the verse 1, the Apostle Peter says this, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. The word conversation means manner of living. You see, every time the Bible deals with the role of wives in the home, living out the Christian life in the context of a married relationship, the command is the same. Wives are to submit. Now, we don't like the idea of submission to authority. So we want to rebel against it. We want to react against it. But let's ask ourselves, why is this in the Bible? Why is there a call for citizens to be subject to the civil authority? Why is there a call for servants to obey their masters in all things? Why is there a call for children to obey their parents in the Lord? Why this call and these references that I've read for wives to submit to their own husbands as in the Lord? Why does God grant this authority to husbands? And here's the answer: for the blessing and protection of those under that authority. It's never for the advantage. It's never for the benefit of the one in authority. God loves his people. And God in wisdom has ordained this order, this authority for the benefit of the human race. It's a delegated authority. And those that have this authority are fully answerable to and accountable to the Lord. In fact, corrupt politicians who use their authority to follow their and further their own ends, they're answerable to God. Abusive husbands who use their position to lord it over their wife and their family, have them in fear and trembling, they are answerable and accountable to God. To be under authority is a great responsibility. To have authority is a great responsibility and an accountability to God. Now, let me state this. It's important to remember that the Bible never commands men to exercise authority over their wives. Headship is stated. It's taught as a matter of fact. But husbands are never commanded to lord over their wives. Husbands are commanded to love their wives, and there's a big difference. In all marriage guidance counseling, marriage guidance counselors would tell you that In speaking to wives and husbands, wives would complain, well, my husband's so insensitive and my husband's unliving. And well, what does he do? Well, he leaves the toilet seat up. He leaves the socks on the floor. He lets the wet towel lie on the floor. And that annoys the life out of wives. Maybe we could learn something there. And then the wife then, she starts talking about the husband, and then the husband, he starts talking back to the marriage guidance counselor about the wife and says, well, she's always nagging me. She's not submissive to me. She's not fulfilling my needs. She has no time for me. And they never realize that they're not commanded to exercise authority in that way. Submission has nothing to do with superiority of the husband and wife. It's nothing to do with the inferiority of the husband and wife. Do you know some wives are more superior to their husbands? They have a far brighter intellect. They're maybe better looking. They maybe have a better job, a higher wage. They're maybe even more spiritual and a grasp of the gospel better than their husband. So in that sense, they are superior. But submission has nothing to do with superiority, nothing to do with inferiority. It's nothing to do with passivity. You know, some wives are not allowed to speak in the home. I'm amazed at that. They're not allowed to have any feelings. They're not allowed to have any thoughts. They meekly just have to go along with everything the husband says and everything the husband does. But I want to tell you, wives, true relationships aren't built in that. They're built in openness, truthfulness, and in the context of true love. And a submissive wife can, in a biblical way, confront her husband about his sin and about his failures and about his faults. Yes, men, let's learn to leave the toilet seat the way we got it. Yes, let's learn to pick up the socks. Yes, let's learn to put the towels away. Let's learn to help in the kitchen and whatever domestic chores that we can, because we're doing it in a context of loving our wives. Anything else damages our relationship. True submission involves having a right attitude, right actions, and making a right announcement. Outwardly, there's submission. Inwardly, there's submission of the heart. Women must never use deception, manipulation, or tears, or give a grudging compliance. This is not something cultural. It's not a cultural concession on the part of Paul. It's something that's Christ-centered. I want you to see, secondly and very quickly, not only the reality of biblical submission, but the reason for biblical submission. Let me just go through this very quickly. Do you know that this is not cultural, it's creationist? If you turn over there to Timothy, look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says in verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Now that's order in the Bible. The first man and woman were not made together. They were not made simultaneously. They were not made at the same time. The man was made first, Genesis 2 and 7. God took the dust of the ground, formed a human body, breathed into that body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God commanded man then to be a guardian of the Garden of Eden. He was to dress and keep the garden, Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And then Adam then, remember, was put into a deep sleep. God took out one of his ribs, he built a woman for the man, and he brought that woman to the man. God instituted the first marriage in Eden before the fall. Marriage is the creation ordinance. But here's the reason. There's a creationist concept here. It's not a cultural concept, it's a creationist concept. The woman was built for the man. She was built to be a helpmeet, to complement the man, to complete the man. That's why Paul says in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. So there's one of the reasons, God's order in creation. What about the fall? Look also at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam blatantly disobeyed God's command, Genesis 2:17. It was the woman that was deceived. And Adam, who was with the woman when the conversation with the serpent took place, saw the woman reach out her hand to take the fruit of the tree. He allowed her to take the lead, allowed her to have the conversation with the serpent, allowed her to say all that she said, and didn't intervene. And what was the result? Well, the result, of course, was very painful for the woman. Because remember, God said in Genesis 3, verse 16, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Women who give birth to children, you know the birth pangs and the pain of that. We men know nothing about that. I thank the Lord I'm not a woman. I wouldn't want to suffer that. But that's a reminder of the fall into sin and the role that Eve had. And listen to this, and thy desire shall be to thine husband, and he shall rule over thee. That means rule with loving authority. And it's a reminder of the fall into the state of sin and misery that come into the world. There's another reason very quickly, and that is redemption. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25. The relationship of the husband and wife, you see, it's a parallel between Christ and the church. Christ loved his bride and gave himself for it. And as the bride of Christ, the bride submits to Christ's rule. And like the church, the wife is willing and in a voluntary way to engage in loving submission to her husband. And that's the beauty of Colossians 3, verse 18. Christian marriage works best when we understand it. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so wives are to be to their own husbands in the Lord. It is fit, it is right in the Lord. Christian marriage is to reflect God's image. It's to reflect Christ's sacrificial love of the church and the sacrificial love of a husband to a wife. A wife being voluntary and willing, submissive in a relationship to her husband. It's one of order. Remember that military term that I mentioned, the word submit? You think of church or army officers, a rank of soldiers, they're discontent. They want insurrection. They're complaining about their lot. The living quarters aren't right. The food isn't right. The boots are not comfortable. The equipment's no good. And what do they end up doing? They end up fighting and arguing against the officers. And the soldiers then take on the role of authority and try to overrule and overcommand the officers. And it leads to a breakdown. Are they going to win the war? Are they going to fight as a team? The answer's no. There's going to be turmoil. Of course, those soldiers could end up being court-martialed. And if you think of that in the context of war breaking out in a Christian family, husband and wife and children, you see, that's the devil's work. That's why the devil approached Eve. He wanted her to get to usurp authority over the man. The devil's at the back of this culture war. He's the unseen force. There's spiritual darkness. There's great wickedness. Ephesians 2 and 12. That's what we're really fighting against. The principle of submission, woman's not cultural. It's creational. In creation, God's order was to create the man first, then create Eve for the man, a suitable helpmeet for him. The fall reversed that order. And then in redemption, God was restoring that order. The submission of a wife to uphold God's purpose for creation as a human being, to reflect God's image, and to crush Satan's dominion, his strategy, his power. It's not up for grabs. Even our Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 12 was subject to his parents. His mother, his biological mother, his stepfather Joseph. He was subject to God the Father. Remember, he's co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, but he submitted himself to the death of the cross. And just as the Father and Son have a relationship and the Son submits to the Father's authority, even though he's co-equal and co-eternal and coexists with the Father. So the husband and wife have to relate to each other in that way, the husband loving and the wife being in a voluntary, willing, submissive role. There's biblical order here, and they need each other. There's a role for husbands, there's a role for wives. Their strength, their weaknesses, their needs. A loving husband provides protection and support and finance at home. It's all here. That's the reason for it. Very quickly, our time is gone. The role play of biblical submission I say this as we finish. It has to be an attitude of respect. That's a crucial element in biblical submission. A man was once asked, what is a submissive wife? He said this, well, when I say to the wife, paint the house, she must pick up a brush and start painting. When I say to your wife to walk the dog, she must grab the lead and take the dog for a walk. I want to tell you, that's not a submissive wife. That's an authority, lording it over his wife kind of husband. There's not total passivity with the wives. The husband is not to make all the decisions. The husband, and many husbands, don't consult their wives, don't take their needs, their desires, their thoughts into the equation. The husband controls the money, controls where they live, where they eat, where they will work or he will work, where he'll take a job, what type of car he'll buy if he wants to spend £1,000 or £100,000 buying a new Porsche. He goes along and does it and says nothing to his wife. And his wife's expected to do all the chores, the cooking, the cleaning, the shopping, the minding, the children, the school runs. The husband works, brings home the money, and then sits and watches the TV. Where's the respect for wife in that? It's not there. It's a crucial element in biblical submission that there has to be respect for the wife and for the husband. It's 100% respect from each of the parties. That's the way God has ordained. This is a biblical command. It's not cultural. It's tied into creation. It's tied into the fall. It's tied into redemption. You know, we live in a day when, I say this very sadly again, domestic violence is on the increase. 32,000 cases last year reported to the police. That's the ones that we know about. I want to say this as we finish. Now, listen to me very carefully. A wife is not to submit to an abusive husband. If a husband's beating his wife, she's putting herself in danger by staying there. She must leave, get herself out of that situation with her children. She must flee to a place of safety. She's not even to submit to a sinful husband who wants her to engage in his sinful behavior. She must say to him, no. She must call him to repent. She must tell him to get right with God. She must tell him to get saved. And she mustn't accept even abusive verbal language or, as I've said, physical abuse from the hand of her husband. Even if he's not saved and she wants to win her husband, she must not put herself in danger. I remember a story, I say this as I finish, a woman who was being abused by her husband. I was in Lisburn at the time. I was sent to the home. I was asked to deal with it. And once I heard the story, I said to the woman, you pack your cases, dear. I'm taking you to a place of safety. Her husband was very cross. But a woman should not be abused by the hand of her husband. She's not to accept that abuse. She's not to join in any sinful behavior. And even though she wants to win an unsaved husband and she wants to live a godly example in the face of his ungodly behavior, there's a line that must not be crossed. If he becomes verbally abusive, if he becomes physically abusive, then you have to call him to repentance. And if he doesn't repent, then you have to get yourself out of the place of danger. There's a role play for biblical submission. At the heart is respect for both parties, husband, and an attitude of a biblical response. But a wife must never submit, as I've said, to an abusive verbal husband who wants her to engage in act of sin for his pleasure. May the Lord take these few thoughts. Our time is gone. I'll deal with husbands loving their wives in the will of God next week. And we want to try and, by June, have all of Colossians finished. So that's a task I've set myself. You pray that we'll manage that in the will of God.